In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you like classic rock music? Are you a Beatles fan? The Beatles sang "All You Need Is Love." They also sang "Money Can't Buy Me Love." Although they famously wanted to hold someone's hand in their song "If I Fell in Love with You," they also said, "Love is more than just holding hands." And sadly, they lamented, "Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play." Along those same lines, Pat Benatar titled one of her songs, "Love is a Battlefield." And Neil Young, who might not be a good person to mention these days, sang that only love can break your heart. But perhaps it was the J. Geils Band who summed it up best when they sang, "Love Stinks." Not everything that I learned about love came from rock and roll, but more of it came from the Bible, actually. Our epistle reading today, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is well known as the Bible's love chapter. It's one of the scripture readings that is read at virtually every wedding I preside at. When Paul wrote that passage, certainly it could be applied to how love should function between a husband and a wife, but romantic love was not Paul's primary concern. In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul was addressing a troubled, fractured congregation that really didn't seem to love the Lord or love one another very much. The community in Corinth of believers was rife with arrogance. Everyone thought that they knew more than everyone else. Sexual immorality was rampant. Their lust knew no bounds. How they worshiped, even their celebrations of the Lord's Supper, had become chaotic and causes of contention and division among them. Now, remember, this was only 20 years or so after Jesus had died and been resurrected and ascended. If things could get bad there, so bad, that quickly, after the time that Christ had physically walked on earth, is it any wonder that churches today sometimes have such a lack of peace and harmony? Throughout his first epistle to the Corinthians, Paul emphasizes humility and how Christians should be rendering loving service to one another. He calls for good order in worship and says that false teachers and false teachings need to be confronted and stopped. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, last week's epistle reading, Paul listed the various gifts that God gives to his church and his people, such as the gifts of teaching and administration. Using the metaphor of a human body, a body with eyes and ears and hands all working together for the good of the total person and for the good of each individual body part, Paul says that in the church, everyone should use whatever spiritual gifts God has given them for the good of the whole church. The congregation and each member of it does better that way. And that's great advice for any congregation, ancient or modern. Then, after listing the spiritual gifts, Paul wraps up chapter 12 by saying that he's going to show them and us a more excellent way. He will tell us about the ultimate gift of the Spirit. It's a gift the church needs. It's a gift given to every Christian. It's something that all of us can exercise. It is, of course, the gift of love. Maybe you've heard that there are three different Greek words used in the Bible for love. In English, we only have one word, love, to mean many different things. When we say we love our parents or children, when we say we love our spouse, when we say we love ice cream, or we love our country, or we love the Buffalo Bills, or we love God, there are some not so subtle differences in those kinds of love and how we express them. One of the Greek words for love is philia. It's where we get the word philanthropist, meaning someone who loves mankind, and philosophy, meaning the love of wisdom. Philia means a kind of brotherly love. It's like the love one has for one's teammates or classmates or co-workers or one's country. But philia was not the word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 13. Another one of those Greek words for love is eros. It's where we get words like erotic and erogenous, meaning something that is sensually stimulating or exciting. Often those words are used in a pejorative way to mean something that's indecent or lewd. But love doesn't have to be like that. There's a difference between wholesome, healthy, loving attraction in the proper context and unhealthy lust. Again, eros was not the word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 13. The Greek word for the highest, most deeply spiritual kind of love is agape. That's the word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 13. Agape is often defined as unconditional love. It's a kind of self-sacrificing, self-giving love. How can we illustrate such love? Many years ago, I was told that one of the dialects of Chinese, in their language, the symbol for love was the combination of the symbol for mother and child. Now, I can't find any evidence that says that that's so, but I do think the concept is true. A mother risks her life to have a baby. For years, the baby takes up a good bit, maybe all of her time, attention, and energy. The needs of the child must always come first. But there's no guarantee that the child's going to be a success, whatever that means, or that the child will even love the mother in return. The mother gives and gives, and any reward is only going to come later if it ever comes at all. Yet the mother perseveres in loving, caring, and sacrificing for her child. Another kind of love that I often see is between married couples in their 80s and 90s. It's easy to be in love when you're young and healthy, vacationing on a warm sandy beach with crystal blue water, and your life is all ahead of you. It takes a different kind of love to make it through the day when your hearing and eyesight and mobility are gone, maybe your memory too, and your trips are mostly to the doctor's office or to the grocery store. So many times, I see couples who can look back at all the ups and downs life threw at them, all the storms they weathered, the children they raised, the careers they had, all the good and bad, and they are still holding hands and doting on one another, still very much in love like a couple of newlyweds. Agape is the kind of love that God has for us. Paul says, love is patient and kind. God is so very patient with us. He has claimed us as his own in holy baptism, yet time and time again we fail him, we transgress his laws, or we just simply ignore him. God is holy, and he can never condone or approve of wrongdoing. He commands us to live righteous lives. So he has every right to be angry with us. He could destroy us even if he wanted to. But God waits patiently. He waits for us to turn back to him and his grace. He doesn't insist on his own way. He gives us free will. God knows that love cannot be forced and it can't be bought. He wants us all to be with him. He hopes for us to love him in return as he so deeply and unconditionally loves us. So he waits for us to mature spiritually, to put away our childish ways and get serious about him and his ways. None of this is because God is envious or arrogant in a negative sense. He wants us to be with him and live his way because it is the best possible thing for us. God wants and works for the best for us. That is made clear to us in Jesus' death on the cross. On the cross, Jesus, the Son, makes the ultimate sacrifice to God the Father, paying the penalty for our sins. "How much do you love us?" we ask Jesus. And he spreads out his arms and says, "This much," and he dies. Jesus' words, spoken to the people of his day as well as to us today, were not a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. They weren't so much of the nonsense babbling that we seem to hear today. Jesus' words were a proclamation of God's everlasting love for us, and they were backed up by his very flesh and his blood given and shed for us. How do we respond to so great a love? God wants us to have that agape style of love for one another, not just for our children and spouses and biological families. He wants us to love our fellow church members and let that love spill over to include all the people of the world. But we all know that loving others is not easy. People can be just so frustratingly unlovable. People break our hearts, and it stinks. Love is not a game. It's not something we play at. It is most serious, and it is never easy. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, "I'm sorry, but there are just a lot of people I don't have love for. I don't have any good feelings about them. Seeing them just leaves me cold." We can work with that. It's not an insurmountable problem. Not everyone is going to make our hearts race when we see them and fill our minds with warm, happy thoughts. That's okay, because love is not really a feeling. You could not possibly feel the same way about strangers and enemies the way you feel about the nearest and dearest to you. Love is more of an action in the agape sense than it is a feeling, an emotion. Love is more of a verb than a noun. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? It doesn't say that we have to send people chocolate hearts and flowers for Valentine's Day. Mainly, it seems, we show love by what we don't do. We don't get impatient with people. We don't insist they do everything our way. We don't speak rudely to them. We let go of our grudges and resentments. Of course, we show love by what we actually do as well. In the old King James Version of the Bible, the Greek word for love, agape, was translated as charity. Charity used to mean love. Over time, charity came to mean helping someone by giving them money or something else that they needed. Charity also came to mean putting the most positive spin on someone else's words and actions. We see how one could express love by assisting others and giving them the benefit of the doubt. There were a lot of people in that Corinthian congregation who thought that they were quite wise and spiritual, and they let everybody know it. But they failed miserably at the basic Christian qualities of helping, forgiving, and loving. Don't you be like the Corinthians. God has given you all the love you need, and he has given you an eternity to bask in his love. Share that love with others by loving them as God loves us. Amen.